Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning, the last Friday before the start of Mississippi State's college football season. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our service minimum out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Jacinto.
Be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're watching Kansas State and Iowa State and the start of the college football season, maybe you want to watch a little UNLV. You want to see our old friend Dan? He's out there, he's coaching. He's going to be a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Well, you know. You make sure you've got beef on the grill. Beef is the star of everybody's cookout. Enjoy a great weekend of college football with beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. It's almost the start of the season. You got to have new gear to wear. You want to get new interlocking gear to celebrate all the good news we've had lately. Get it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flown by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town, always at Restaurant Tyler. If you are going to be in Starkville anytime soon, around lunchtime, around dinner time, I can't stress enough how much you need to go get a meal at Restaurant Tyler. It's the best around. We love going there for lunch and for dinner. And Robbie is a massive Sunday brunch fan. I'm not much of a Sunday brunch guy because, you know, Robbie's out and about at that time. I am not. So that's fine.
I eat lunch more often than I do the brunch.
Yeah, it's more lunch for you than brunch. I agree.
I'm usually there about noon, a little afternoon.
Yeah, see, I think brunch ends at like 11:30.
Yeah, if it's
after 11:30, you're eating lunch.
If it's not like around 11.
Yeah. Even if you get breakfast items, it's still lunch.
It's lunch.
Yeah.
But they do have an incredible brunch. I personally am going with the Mississippi River Biscuit. If I'm going to Restaurant Tyler and I'm getting a brunch item, that's the way to go. But they have pancakes, they have waffles, they have omelets. It's amazing. And then they have, of course, the blue plate menu. So I mean, you can't beat it.
Can't go wrong at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need a bank that provides a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. My apologies for any sound quality issues today. As you can tell, I'm not in the Super Talk studios. I'm still down here in Hattiesburg, where I'm going to be leaving in a couple of hours to head down to Perkinston, Mississippi for our remote today at Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. So I'm up here in my hotel room. So, you know, I did make the bed. I did do that because otherwise, you know.
I appreciate that.
I felt like that would have been.
I can't stand seeing the unmade bed behind me.
I made it the best I can. So it's back there. So a little later in the show, we're going to talk about the massive news surrounding Starkville and the reimagining almost of the Cotton District, the entrance to the Mississippi State campus, and all of the big news coming from the city of Starkville yesterday. But as we do every year on the show, I like to break out some over-unders for Mr. Falk over there. And I want to get his thoughts on statistically where he thinks this team could end up in some ways. And I've got, how many do I have total here? I've got I've got nine over-unders I want to get Robbie's thoughts on, and I'll give my thoughts as well. Let's start in the passing game. And, Robbie, we are going to make these over-unders With the assumption of a healthy Blake Chapin, right? I'm not playing the whole he's going to. This is a 12 game Blake Chapin that we're going to get these over unders on. So, over under for Blake Chapin, 3,100 yards passing.
3,100.
Just for the record, Mississippi State a season ago between Van Buren and Chapin, just shy of 2,900 yards passing.
Yeah. The question that I would have here is, whether or not he's going to be able to stay healthy. That would be.
But that's the assumption we're making here.
And so my assumption is that based on the past, that he might have trouble doing that. I'm going
Okay.
to say under just because we have not seen a full season of Blake Chapin, especially here. I think he played, I don't know if he played a full season at Baylor, did
I
he?
think he got one season in at Baylor.
So I'm going to say under
Okay.
just because there might be a
Well,
game or two where he's out. I mean, it's a fair thing to think about whether or not he's going to stay healthy until he actually does it.
that being said, if he were to let's make the assumption that we get 12 games of shape, and what would your thoughts be on that?
I think he could hit 3,100 if he's fully healthy.
Yeah, I mean we're
So
talking about
I'll so we'll do we'll say if he's healthy, yes.
right.
If he's not, obviously no.
Let me see. I didn't do the math here, but 3,100, we're talking about 258 passing yards per game. That feels like a I mean, it's a decent number, but it's not, it doesn't feel unattainable, right?
No, so all right, so Van Buren had 1,886 yards
But he only
last year.
completed 54% of his passes. I would assume Chapin would be much higher, be closer to
That, and he
62, 63%.
missed the first four games, essentially. He didn't start in those games. He didn't play a ton in those games. And then he's playing as a true freshman against Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, Ole Miss, all of them. So I think it's reasonable to believe you add in the four more games for Blake Chapin with those numbers, plus you up the completion percentage by, I would say, over 60%
Yeah, I'd say
at
probably
that
closer to
point.
63, 64%, to be honest with
Almost
you.
10% more completion percentage.
Be easily been there.
Yeah, I think that Chapin, had he been healthy last year, probably hits that number.
So looking at last season, 258 a game would have been fourth in the SEC. Dart was first at 329. Nussmeier was second at 311. Now these guys played 13 games. So there's an extra, game in there for them. But regardless of that, Carson Beck only played 13 games, didn't play in their playoff game, and really only played 12 and a half games. He's at 268. So my guess is, had he played the full SEC championship game and played the playoff game, he'd probably be around 275 or so. And then Quinn Ewers was fourth at 248. So State would have this would have him at fourth in the SEC. So when you look at it from that perspective, maybe that's a little high, but I do believe that that number is attainable. Like I said, if State a season ago average, had 2,900 yards passing with a quarterback completing only 54% of his passes the final 8 games of the season. I think it's a reasonable number. I don't think that's overkill. What about for touchdowns, Robbie? I've got an over under of 25. State threw 19 touchdowns last year.
Right, for Blake Chapin.
Yeah, full Blake Chapin, 12 games, 25 touchdowns.
I'm going to say under
Okay.
on that. So I'm pretty much at under on the yards and the touchdowns for Blake Chapin, just because I don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy. I think if he is healthy, then he can get to the 31, but it's going to be close. But essentially right now, I'm under on both the yards and the touchdowns.
Yeah, I think touchdowns. Yeah, because again, if he throws 23 touchdowns, and we've talked about it the past couple of days, we both think State's going to be a very run-heavy team this year, that they're going to be more run-focused. So it's possible that a lot of those touchdowns are going to be on the ground for State this year. When they score, especially in the red zone, you're going to feel like they're going to be a team that there's not going to be a lot of 1 and 2 and 3 yard touchdown passes from this team. There's going to be a lot of 1 and 2 and 3 yard touchdown runs from
He
this team.
was on pace last year, I think, to be under that. Then he
He
had
had
eight
eight
touchdowns
touchdowns
last year.
in, no, I don't know. He had eight touchdowns in 3.5 games. Now you got, the first game is kind of a mess up there, but he was on pace for what? So 24, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. He was still
Just
on pace to
under.
be under because he was going into the fourth quarter when he got hurt against
Yeah, that's a
Florida.
good
So I
point.
don't know if he
It's
would
not
have
like really
hit
three and a
that.
half. Yeah, you're right.
Plus, on top of that, you're going into SEC play.
Yeah.
It's reasonable to assume that those numbers would have gone
I agree.
down, but or they could have gone up and they could have got better. But as of right now, I'm under on that.
Okay. Let's go to the running game. I didn't want to pick out one guy and because I think Booth and Bothwell both have huge roles to play. So I went combined here, a combined 1,800 yards from Devon Booth and Fluff Bothwell. What do you say?
So last year as a team, they rushed for 1,655.
Yeah.
I think that goes up this year. But do we see those two backs reaching that number?
If you
Is the
see those two
question.
backs reach that number, it probably means Daniels is probably around like 300 at best, right?
Yeah. Because I think they're going to have a three-man rotation there. Booth had just under 800 yards last year. Of course, Fluff Bothwell had over 800
Yeah,
yards.
it's South Alabama.
I expect them to be more run heavy this year.
Set a good number here, I think.
That's a interesting number because I think everything's going to be. I'm going to go under
Okay.
for those two combined. I'm going to go under on that. I don't know. That's going to be. Somebody would have to be a 1,000-yard rusher, I would believe there. And then on top of that, you have like a Davon Booth being a 1,000-yard rusher. You need Fluff to be what he was last year at South Alabama. And is he going to get those same amount of carries,
Yeah.
same opportunities when
So
you
you're
have?
either getting somebody at 1,000 and somebody at 800, or so they're both getting 900 is where we're at here.
Yeah, and that's a lot. That's a lot of yards
The only
for
thing
two
I would
guys.
say is I think I'm going to go over because I really do think this team is going to run the football well. I think that last year, those first 4 or 5 games, State just could not run the football, and then they finally got into a groove. I think they get off to a better start this year. I think they're able to run the football in Southern Mississippi, on Arizona State. Certainly on Alcorn, and then again on Northern Illinois. Last year, what happened against Arizona State and Toledo in the running game, I don't foresee it happening again this year. So, I think you get a little bit more of what you had at the back end of last season when State was able to run the ball effectively. I'm gonna go over. I think Booth can challenge for 1,000, and I think Bothwell can as well. So that's where
That's
I'm
a
at.
lot. Yeah, last year you had Booth and Daniels were somewhere around 1,300 yards.
1,300, yeah.
That's another 500 yards they got to make up in there.
But if they have, think about the Arizona State and the Toledo games. I think combined they rushed for like 80 yards in those two games. If
Yeah.
those two games, instead of 80 yards, you're at a combined 300 yards. I mean, that's a massive. That's two. I just picked up 240 yards right there. So I think that
Yeah.
they can do it. I think they can.
But too, like we're in this scenario, we're expecting a lot out of the offensive line, a
We are.
giant jump from the offensive line from where they were
We are. But
at that point last year.
I'm gonna
So
buy into that. I haven't been overly positive this offseason, but that's one thing I'm gonna buy into is that State's gonna be a much better team at running the football. So we'll see where that goes. All right. Receiver, I don't want to name names because I don't know who that guy's gonna be. I just don't. So what I put was leading receiver over under 75 catches.
okay. My leading receiver that I picked in the media poll, I believe, was Anthony Evans.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. Last year, Kevin Coleman had 74, so I'm going to go under.
Go under. Okay.
Yeah.
You just think it'll be spread out more, or you just
I think
think
it'll
he'll
be
just
spread
have?
out more. I don't know yet if Anthony Evans is Kevin Coleman.
Right.
Because Kevin Coleman was kind of a revelation last year. We found out a lot about him. This is a very similar deal, except for Anthony Evans has even less production than Kevin Coleman did at Louisville, which wasn't great production, but it was a lot more than what Anthony Evans had. So it's asking a lot to say he's going to have automatically, 75 plus more catches than we saw from Coleman last year. It would not shock me if Sadu Traore was neck and neck for the top receiver, like in
Really?
catches. Yeah, it would not shock me.
So if that's the case, though, I would think it would be more. You're talking about, I can't see
More
Traore
spread
getting
out.
50 catches. So yeah, you're talking
No,
about,
more spread out. Yeah.
yeah, that's interesting.
Which would deviate a little bit from how this offense has gone,
Which
where
is
it's
what I was going to
been
say. Yeah.
far and away, this guy's had more catches than the other guys. Because Kevin Coleman had 40 more catches
Right.
last year. He doubled up, say, to Traore almost
Yeah.
in catches. So that is,
So you
that's a
think
little
more
different
balance
from.
this year?
It could be a little more balanced just because there's not a whole lot of proven commodities, and I think Sadie Troy will be leaned on a little heavier than
So
we saw last year.
somehow I'm going to agree and disagree with you at the same time. I'm going to take the under.
That Traore will be pushing for.
No. Just I think that there will be one receiver that pulls away just because it's always been that way in this offense. There's always been one guy that has a lot more catches than everybody else. But I could see, and let's say it's Anthony Evans, and that's who I think it's going to be too, because he's playing that slot position, which is the key position in this offense. But he could have 65 catches, and Traore could still be around 30, 35 catches. The key for State is going to be having Traore 30, 35 catches, Thompson 30, 35 catches, Mosley 30, 35 catches, instead of having 75, 30, 20, 15. You got to have maybe three or four guys that are in that 30 plus range. And if you have that, you'll be fine. So I think it will be under 75 is a lot of catches. I mean, we're talking, basically seven catches, or like 6.5 catches a game, something like that. So that's a big number. But at the same time, Coleman last year, with despite th th there's another side of this though, Robbie, we just kind of talked about last year, Van Buren only 54% completion rate. If we think Chapin will be closer to 62, 63%, there's got to be more catches. So that's one way to look at it. Think about how many short passes that Van Buren kind of put in the dirt last year to Coleman. Coleman could probably easily have had 80, 90 catches had the passes been a little bit more accurate. So just something to consider. I will go under, but it could go the other way. There, you could see State's leading receiver, whoever it is, be a an 80 catch guy. So we'll see. On that note, let's stay on the receiver and go 1,000 yards. Does State have a
Yeah.
1,000 yard receiver this year? Coleman was at 9 something last year.
932.
Okay, so can we again, if we're talking about a guy who's going to complete more passes, you got to think that you have a chance to have that.
Yeah, I'm under on that too.
Go under. Okay.
There's nobody in this offense that, but in fairness, I don't think anybody would have thought that Kevin Coleman could have been anywhere near where he was based on his production, but the fact that we just haven't seen a ton of production from this wide receiver crew, I'm a little cautious on them right now.
So
I think
let me
there's going
ask
to be
you
a
this
little.
then. If Coleman was back, would you go over on these?
Yeah, I would have Coleman pushing for 80 receptions over 1,000 yards.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though. That's absolutely reasonable.
I mean, you look at it, the starters that we are projecting right now, which I fully believe these are your three starters: Jordan Mosley, Anthony Evans, and Brennan Thompson.
Right.
Mosley had like seven catches before last season,
Right.
and last year he had 23 catches for 405, and like 200 plus was like in the first three games or
Yeah.
something, or was in like the non-conference games that didn't really
Yeah, a
matter.
massive game against Eastern Kentucky. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got Brennan Thompson, who had a solid season last year. I think he had 19 catches. He's a big play threat, but the volume, I don't know what we're going to get there.
Well,
And then
right. If we're
Anthony Evans.
saying 30 catches, we're probably saying, you talk about big play. We're probably saying between like 550 and 650 in yards is what
Yeah.
we'd like for that.
And so at that point, you're going to need a large volume of receptions for these guys to get there. Anthony Evans, I think, could break some big plays, similar to how Kevin Coleman did. Brennan Thompson, obviously, could break some big plays like Mario Craver. But is it going to be enough? Like Craver last year, 17 catches for 368. That's 22 yards a catch. I
Yeah.
think that's closer to what you'll get with Brennan Thompson.
Right.
But how many catches is that going to be for Brennan
Right.
Thompson? Brennan Thompson is going to need to have 50 plus catches.
Yeah, if he wants to
at
get a
that point.
thousand, yeah.
Yeah,
Listen,
so
the
it's
1,000-yard guy is the slot guy, the guy who we think catches 60 to 70 passes.
volume
Volume.
guy. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, last one from the receivers. 8 touchdowns. How many Coleman have last year?
6.
6. He should have had 7. I swear to God he got in on the egg bowl. I still can't get over the fact that he didn't score
Yeah.
there.
I would say a guy like Sadu would be a guy that could be one of your top touchdown guys. He
Yeah.
only had one last year.
Yeah. That was disappointing that he should have been a bigger red zone target than he was.
I'm gonna go under on that too, because
Okay.
the point you made earlier about the touchdowns from Blake Shapen, I think a lot of when Mississippi State gets inside the five, I think a lot of that's gonna be running the football. So I think that's gonna steal away a lot of touchdowns as Davon Booth, Fluff Bothwell, Johnny Daniels is gonna finish off drives. This offense has a lot of big play capabilities that gets the ball down inside the five and they finish it off on the ground. So I think that's going to be a lot of your touchdowns are going to be coming from the ground game. They had 19 passing touchdowns last year.
Right.
And they had 19 rushing touchdowns last
Very
year.
balanced. But I think this year that switches a little. Yeah.
I think the rushing goes up this year
Yeah.
closer to 25, 28 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And the passing probably is somewhere around 20.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Let's switch over to defense. Got a couple here. Got three of them here. For our tackles, let's start it up with let's just do Isaac Smith. 110 is his number. What do you think?
Tackles. I think that his tackles are going down this year because there's going to be more people cleaning up the play in front of him. So I'm going to go under. I think he'll push for 100, but he's not going to have the year he had last year because he was having to make it felt like every tackle because there's nobody else that can make the tackles. I think State's got more help in the front seven. So a lot of my some of my unders have been kind of a negative. State's going to take a step back in certain areas.
But
I don't think, I
it's
don't
not about
see
taking a
this.
step back, Robbie. It's about you think there's more balance. You think there's more guys who can contribute this year. So when we're
Yeah.
saying, I think it's a great thing if Isaac Smith doesn't have 127 tackles this year. That's
If he
what
comes
you
down
want.
to 90 tackles, which is a lot less tackles than he had last year,
Great.
that's good for the Mississippi State defense because there's more people involved and they're not missing tackles. They're not getting trucked, and he's having to come in and clean it up. So I'm going under.
I'm going to go under as well. It's not a, I don't th I didn't think it's like a big under. I don't think he's going to be sitting at like 75 tackles. He may only just be at like 100. But Jalen Smith, Brandon Jennings, Zachary Tillman, and State's defensive line didn't get tackles last year. They will get more
No.
tackles this year, I think. So, and that takes some pressure off of Isaac Smith. So, yeah, I will definitely go under there. All right, these last two categories, I did kind of the similar as receiver because I don't know who that person's going to be. Leading sacker, 5.5.
So I had we did the media poll and I had Red Hibbler with like 7.
Yeah, you did.
And maybe I was just like being a Louisville homer. I don't know if that's gonna happen. But 5.5 I think is certainly attainable. Last year, Zachary Tillman was a leading sacker with 3.5. I
Yeah.
mean, you're asking somebody to get 2.5 more tackles and or sacks than that. I think I would say yes. I would say over.
So I had Zachary Tillman at 5.5 in on my media poll. So I think it's going to be like right at it, basically. So I'll say
But
over just on the off chance they get an extra half sack there. I appreciate you, by the way, admitting that you are a total Winston County homer. It's okay. I respect it. I like, love the good folks in
sometimes, I
Winston
mean, sometimes it gets the best of me.
County.
I feel like even, people call you and I fanboys of Mississippi State, whatever.
Sure.
Everybody knows where our alliances are, but you and I can both look at things right down the middle.
Right down the middle.
And normally I can look at this down the middle too, but I think I was maybe a little too
A little
giddy
too.
about Red Hibbler.
It's all right. It's okay. It's all right. So we're both gonna say over on that one. That would be a key. I was thinking about this today. Like Yeah, you think about the Southern Mississippi game. You know, State gets like two sacks in the first half. Did State have two sacks in a game last year? Like
Oh,
maybe once?
maybe.
That
That the
will
crazy
be a
thing is, like,
massive thing to keep an eye on.
and then like you have this over under. We're both over on the 5.5 sacks. That is almost to how many sacks they had last year. It's over half the sacks they had last year. Or half of the sacks. They had 10 sacks as a team.
I think that'll be much improved. All right,
That number is going to jump tremendously.
I agree. Leading interceptor, 3.5.
Oof. I must say under.
Yeah. Pretty sure State's leading interceptor last year had one. So
It was like six guys, it was seven guys tied with one.
you realize how hard that is to do, to not have somebody luck into a second interception?
The interesting thing is it came from like every position group except for the defensive line.
Yeah, they couldn't get lucky and tip one up in the air.
Yeah, that's tough to do. Four interceptions is what you're asking right
Yeah.
there. That's
Still want to put
that's
a
a
half on. I guess I've been with sacks, but you hear sack. Half sack is a real stat. Their half interception is not. So.
Well, I mean, we do win totals and it's like 3.5.
Oh,
Like, I mean,
yeah. But I'm talking
it's
about from
just the
this
gambling part.
exercise.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good season for Emmanuel Forbes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm gonna go under.
Okay. I'm going to go under as well, but I think State will have more. Let me put it like this. I think State will have multiple guys with multiple interceptions this year. I
Yeah.
think you have two or three guys that have at least two interceptions this year. That would go a long way. So, all right. I think based on what we've said here, I think it lines up more with an optimistic outlook, I think. Even though we were saying we were under on some of these numbers, we're saying it's because there's more balance throughout the lineup. It's not, they're just relying on this one guy. So maybe that came across a little optimistic. I don't know, especially for me, who's got a 4-8 prediction out there. But as we've said before, my 4-8 prediction is it lies entirely with the fact that I'm not sure about how much improved this defense is going to be. So
Right.
we shall see. All right, let's move into the last part of the show here. That's brought to you by, it's the last part of the show of the offseason. When we do our show for Monday, we're talking, that's game week.
It's gambling.
So let's do the last part of it. That's brought to you by our good friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District and the Older Brother right next door. Two fantastic restaurants in Starkville. You're going to be in Starkville this football season. You're going to be enjoying yourself. Two Brothers is a great pregame spot. It's a great postgame spot. If you want to get in there, watch college football, big screen TVs all around, fantastic food, great beers. It's all right there for you at Two Brothers Smoke Meats. This football season, I want to see you there at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Businesses, and that's what they've been doing for 50 years. When you need technology for your business, the place to call is Advantage Business Systems. They've got the top name brands that you're looking for, but more importantly, even the top name brands have a moment of trepidation where something goes wrong. That's when you need to know you can call your provider and say, "Hey, this isn't working. Can you come fix it?" And you know they're going to be there for you. And that is exactly what Advantage Business Systems has been providing for 5 decades to their customers here in the great state of Mississippi. So call them today, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go this football season when you're in Starkville. If you're looking for great Mississippi State gear, they have the biggest and best selection of anybody in the Golden Triangle. Everything maroon and white under one roof. It's not just clothes, it's stuff for your car, your tailgate, your house, anything to let the folks know that you are a Bulldog. They've got it at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis Wade Stadium this fall, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. It's hot outside. You got to get out there in the yard. You got work to do. You want to get that work done before football kicks off. You need to put some John Deere power behind you. And our friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden are going to help you do exactly that. They've got great deals and great financing on all their mowers, tractors, and gators. It's just waiting for you to come by. What are you doing out at the house this weekend? Are you got projects that need to be done, repair projects? You got to work out in your yard. You got to get something in the garden. Or maybe you're just cooking out this weekend. Everything I just said, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has a product that will make your job easier. Go check them out. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. All right, massive announcement from the city of Starkville from Mississippi State University. A complete reimagining is how I'm putting it of the entrance to campus via University Drive, the Cotton District, and the campus kind of melding into one amalgamation
Tremendous
of the
word.
area. What's that?
Tremendous word.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't get to use it often. And something that if you've traveled the SEC as I have, and as Robbie has, and I'm sure some of you have, it's unique. There's not a lot, I think the closest one to me, just from what I was, if I'm looking at the renderings, right? And I always feel like I never look at renderings, right? That's just me. But like LSU, they have the chimes right there at the gates. And then there's some bars and restaurants right outside of campus. But for the most part, most campuses you walk through, you got to walk at least a block to get from campus to what you would call an entertainment district. This is going to kind of bring that together. Tremendous new hotel going into the area of the Matalan. I had to explain to Borky. He's like, why don't y'all call it because it's modeled after the Memphian Hotel in Memphis. He's like, why aren't y'all calling it the Starkvillian? And I had to give him the whole, well, that's Borky. What you don't know is that Madelon was the original fight song of the university. He didn't know that. So that's going to be a mat. I mean, it's a 7-story hotel. If I'm correct, that's immediately the tallest building in Starkville. Rooftop bar. You can see out on the campus. It's a really cool development. Well, you and I both know there's going to be some growing pains with this. We're going to have some times where it's difficult to get around in the Cotton District, difficult to get onto campus. But when this is finished, this is going to be unique to Mississippi State, unique to Starkville, and it's going to go a long way in, you and I know, and we have fought against the narratives about the city of Starkville for the whole time we've had this podcast and beyond. This is going to go a long way in dispelling some of those narratives.
Yeah, after this, if you're still talking about Starkville the way that you have
You
as
just
an
don't like
appraiser,
Starkville.
you don't like Starkville, you're lazy, you haven't been there, or you haven't been there in a long time, because this is going to be really cool. I promise you, opposing fans from SEC schools are going to love this because they can go to the Cotton District, they can drink, they can eat, they can stay in the hotel, whatever, walk out. Walk across that land bridge and you're literally at the football stadium or you're
Right.
at the junction. It's going to be incredible. I love the fact that Starkville has really embraced the university as its lifeblood. And for Mississippi State too to embrace the city of Starkville. They've kind of come together
And that
here
was not
in
always the case.
it
That
wasn't always the
not
case.
always the case at all.
And I think you got to give a lot of credit to Dr. Keenum and to Lynn Spruill for they have the partnership school now. Starkville has fully embraced Mississippi State as its lifeblood. It's Mississippi's college town that they have completely branded around the fact that they are a college town, and that's 100%, what Starkville is all about. And that's I think that has. It's really going to push Mississippi State towards the top of the SEC as a pure college town. Now, there's places out there like Kentucky is, I would consider it like a city,
Lexington,
and
Nashville, even
Lexington,
Baton Rouge to a
Nashville.
certain extent. Yeah.
Yeah, like Mississippi State is in the middle of a college town. Like it is without the college, Starkville would be nothing.
Right.
And I love the fact that they are really like pushing forward every step of the way here. We're doing the revitalization projects of 182. Downtown is becoming more walkable, and it's going to be this kind of a beautification project there that's going to merge downtown into the Cotton District. It's just everything right now, like it feels like there's a ton of momentum with the city of Starkville and with Mississippi State. It's like we talked about yesterday, like if you could just get football,
Get it right.
if you could just get it to 6-6 this year, somehow, if
Everybody's
you could
happy.
somehow, some way get to 6 wins and just get a little bit of momentum going with football, it feels like things are about to explode. You gotta, and Starkville, the great thing about Starkville is it's not really landlocked. You have a lot of potential to continue to expand this.
Right. There's still
And
all that out in the bypass
the
area and all that.
bypass, what we're seeing now, there's things that you could do even in the Cotton District area with what they're doing here with this little district, that you could, there's so many things that you could do in the city of Starkville to continue to grow it.
The landing kind of showed the way here. Don't build out, build up.
Build up. And like, and there's, you look at what Nashville has done with these
Build them up.
three-story bars. Starkville can do that same thing. You don't have to have a, you don't have to be taking up a ton of space to have a really cool spot to go to. And that's what the hotel and I'm sure the shops that are coming in, the restaurants, there's going to be limitless potential here. You got the Grant Library. I'm not sure when the construction starts on that, but it was included in that project and looks to be the renderings that we were able to see on Maroon and White Daily a couple of months ago that we talked about on this show. Just an incredible museum, library, whatever you want to call it, that could bring in, I think, a lot of people from out of town coming to visit that spot, and it looks like something straight out of Washington, D.C. So that area is going to be incredible. You and I saw some renderings for something in that area a couple years ago that I was upset didn't go through, and I really wish that that would have. But this looks unbelievable. I think they did this right. I think it's going to be incredible. It's going to be a couple of years, and
We're gonna have
but.
some pains in there. There's no getting around. I mean, right now trying to get downtown Starkville. There's some pains, with that. But
But
we'll
with the
get.
way I always look at that when I see that is progress.
Yeah.
If you didn't see all that, if you weren't being detoured all the time because there was construction going
Because
on,
then it just means
you're just
it's just
sitting there. And that's what
deteriorating.
Starkville's done for years. Starkville has just been sitting there. And finally, you have people that are here that want to push this thing forward. And I think it's both young and old. I know a lot of people that want to move back to Starkville that have moved out that didn't have opportunities, and they've moved to Starkville and they're setting their roots here. People are investing in the city of Starkville. They're investing in this area in Mississippi State. There's a lot of progress happening here. I hope it continues because there's so much potential. And I just feel like people have always said you can't do that because it's never been done here, and we're finding out that you absolutely can do that in Starkville. Starkville can be a ton better than what we see right now, and I like the progress that they're making.
I believe the Matalan is scheduled to open 2027. Assuming we're still alive and healthy at that point, I offer our services for a live broadcast of thunder and lightning on the rooftop there on opening night. They're just throwing that out there to you.
Can you imagine the backdrop of Davis Wade Stadium from the top of that roof?
Yeah, that'd be
I
awesome.
mean,
All right, so speaking of Davis Wade Stadium.
we call dibs.
We
We
got
call
dibs. We
dibs.
went
We
from
get
where
the first
nobody's ahead
show,
of us. Yeah, we're first on the
the
list.
first show on that rooftop.
So, speaking of Davis Wade Stadium, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it. Robbie, are you going to be at this event on Monday?
On Monday,
Monday evening?
what event?
Oh, we got an email about it. Did you not see this? And Brandon just put something about it in the group text.
Oh,
So, all right, I
I
guess
thought
I'm
that was
breaking news
Saturday.
then. No, it's
Oh, it
Monday.
is Monday. Yeah.
Monday, are you going to be there?
Yes.
Okay. The media is getting a tour of Davis Wade Stadium to see all of the upgrades. They're going to put the LED lights into motion. It's because we're supposed to be there at 7:30. I will not be able to make it. Sports Talk Mississippi is live in Senatobia at Northwest Community College. I won't be back in time, but Robbie will be there, so he'll have a report on that for us. He's going to get to see all the LED lights in action and some of the other stuff. That's available. So that'll be really cool. And I guess I'll have to wait until September 6th to get my first taste of that. But it should be a lot of fun and really cool. And so we'll talk about that. Like I said, it'll be on Tuesday's podcast. Next week is game week. We got a lot to talk about. We got a Jeff Lebby press conference. We'll have our first SEC picks on Tuesday shows. So the pick'em begins again as it leads into Friday and the first three P's of the 2025 season. I'm excited. I know Robbie is, and I know that you guys are as well. We're excited to be here with you. All right, guys, we'll talk to you again on Monday when it will be game week. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.